Psalm 86. Psalm 86. When I came in, Sister Calista was reading from the scripture that was ringing in my heart. I had to ask my wife, I said, what happened? I said, she too came in and found that scripture. I'm trying to find Psalm 86, verse 13. Say, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. This was a scripture that came to me many seasons ago. And I think it defines, it speaks of what is happening now, because you know that the various ministries that have come this morning show that the church is moving on. We are rising to a higher dimension. Sometimes when you keep your eyes on the storm, you might not see the Lord. Amen. You know, but those who keep their eye on the Lord will walk on even the storm, will walk on the high places. There is a general rising up in the church, and there is a general depth that has come to the church. If you are sensitive in the spirit, you will know that Zion is moving on and marching on. It will also be very clear that the battle has also become more intense. And because it has become more intense, there is a measure of grace that has been given to also cause us to come up to a higher place. Amen. You know, so here it says the soul is in the lowest hell. You know, to my elementary mind, it tells me automatically that there are different, whether you call it different realms or level or dimension or whatever word you want to use, there is a grade of hell. And also lets me know that there must also be grades and levels in hell, in heaven also, is that not so? I think we need to go beyond that, because I'm concerned about the practicality. You know, what happens when I'm in the midst of a storm, something is happening in the office, at home, that makes me forget my environment. I get something that comes to overwhelm me. The battle has come to such an extent that we must shift ground, you know, so that we can also begin to deal with and respond to these things as on a much more higher level. I know I'm speaking not in very clear terms, but purposely. I'll come back to this, but let me go to a scripture that we know very well, John chapter 3. We will try to make it clear. I'm actually speaking about sonship, coming to maturity. Brother Isaac was just speaking that burden from my heart. All the prayers, right from the times Sister Calista began, I've been speaking of that burden of healing and sonship, resurrection. John chapter 3, we know very well. You know, Nicodemus is in this room. Is it possible that Nicodemus is me? You know, he was a rabbi. He was vast in the laws. He knew the world, he knew everything in his time. By the way, he was a secret disciple. And he, you know, when it came for the time for men to stand, you know, it was the secret disciples that came out. The open disciples ran away. But the real disciples emerged. And Nicodemus was one of them. With Joseph of Arimathea, is it not? Amen. You know, so we are speaking of substance. You know? So speaking of substance, this man, you know, he knew the law, like many of us know the law. We know the word. We know all that is required. But there's a problem. And Jesus saw the problem and spoke to him. He came and said, Lord, we know you are this and this. He told him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Can we read this response? Verse 4. See, how can a man be born when he is old? You know, that is the problem. You know, because you know, I need something. I need, well, I believe God is doing it for me, and I believe he's doing it for us. But Jesus was speaking to a need. He told him, Nicodemus was looking at the outward man. You know, he was looking at his outward experience. So when you say a man is going to be born again, you know, you are thinking of the natural birth. So Jesus told him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You know? But Jesus was speaking of a spiritual birth, of a spiritual experience. Hallelujah. And you know, that is really where I missed the mark. You know, because most of the time, the things that happen to me, I'm looking at them naturally. You know, somebody, you know, is challenging me, saying something to me, and all my reaction is limited to the natural. Amen. Don't you know I'm an document? Don't you know I am this? Don't you know? You know, there is no response, there is no reference to anything spiritual. Hallelujah. You know, and yet I'm a rabbi. You know, a son of God, sonship, and with all my credentials. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Hallelujah. You know, when God began to speak to me about this scripture, I began to look at it. You know, I remember when I got born again, there was really not much change in my physical body. Hallelujah. I don't know how much change happened. Mr. Domo, how much did your face change? Well, it's possible you might have some changes. But I don't know how much change was. But yet, you were born anew. What was it that happened to you? You know, so like Galatians says, how is it that we have started in the Spirit and we are ending in the flesh? Amen. What you call born again, it's something that is happening within. It's an inward experience. Hallelujah. And from beginning, therefore, till the end, therefore, it must remain at that level. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Because he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. You know, so we are speaking about sonship, maturity. Sonship and maturity. And in the same scripture, he's speaking about the soul moving in planes or dimensions. Amen. So, if the man was born again and his body, physical body, does not change, his physical location of Jerusalem does not change, your physical location of Port Harcourt, wherever you were, did not change. Hallelujah. But he says something new has happened to you. What is it that happened, therefore? There was a change in the spiritual. I wanted to say spiritual, physical condition. But there was a change in a spiritual reality. There was a change in location in the spirit. So I don't know if you are coming along with me. In the spirit, there are locations. There are dimensions. There are levels. Somebody say, levels don't change. Levels don't change that you had 1 million, now you have 2 million. Say, my level don't change. Hallelujah. But a man that goes from the lowest hell, he gets out of the lowest hell, his level has changed. Amen. So the man that is going from the lowest hell, he is going to the highest heaven. Amen. So what I'm trying to say, okay, let's look at Jesus said, you know, he says he is here on earth, but he's with the Father. I don't know if you understand. Say, I'm here, but I am with the Father. Do you understand that English language? You know, it's like that because of the spiritual geography. That in the spirit, there are levels, there are realms, there are dominions, there are kingdoms, there are potentates, there are crowns, There are bondages. There are places of liberty also. Hallelujah. And it is important where your soul dwells. And it's important where your soul is going to. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 2 to see Brother Peter quote Psalm 16. What did I say? I said Psalm 16. Acts chapter 2 is talking about Psalm 16. The brother was preaching from Psalm 16 in Acts chapter 2. Amen. Hallelujah. Because in those days, they read the Psalm. They didn't have the New Testament. It was the old they were reading. And many of them, they dwelt in Psalms. So it would be very wise to go there also and dwell. Amen. Okay. From verse 25, he begins to speak about that. He says, from verse 25, he talks about 27. He said, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Now, this was a prophetic word that was given by David. And you must hold it as your covenant. I don't know about you, but it's a covenant. It's like the Bible says, it's like an anchor of the soul. Something your soul anchors on. Hallelujah. That he will not leave my soul. Yeah. Hallelujah. Or suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Hallelujah. It says many other things. I would encourage you to look at it. But this geography, this activities of the soul, the places of the soul. Amen. So we have seen two scriptures now, Psalms, and then we are in Acts, Peter. Talking about Psalms, and he's talking about the soul being brought out of hell, being taken from that realm, that level, to a higher dimension. Amen. But you see, Peter gave it a name. There was something he said about it, I want us to look at it. Verse 31. It says, he seen this before. So he seen this before, did what? Please, I want you to look at that 31 very carefully. He says, speak of what? The resurrection of Christ. And what is the resurrection of Christ? That his soul, that is of Christ, was not left. Where? in hell. Neither did his flesh. So he's separating the soul from the flesh, the outward man from the inward man. Neither did his flesh do what? See corruption. This Jesus, he's not playing around with words. There's a difference between Jesus and Christ. I don't know if we need to go back and explain that? There is a difference between Jesus and Christ. Amen. Okay, from the face language, I think I need to explain it. I will do that. He seen this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has got raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Amen. And then it goes on and on. Hallelujah. Amen. So he's talking about resurrection. Resurrection is, it has been ringing in the air, and it's going to come much more. But when he says resurrection, it means going from life, from death to life, is not. It's coming from a place of, a grave condition, and coming into life. Hallelujah. So here he's speaking about the resurrection of the soul. Some people speak about the resurrection of the body. Hallelujah. Amen. Can the soul resurrect before the body? When you go to marry, they say we are marrying only which one? Is it the flesh? You marry the flesh? Okay, not the bone. Hallelujah. Amen. So, brother, I'm just trying to open it up for us to examine, for us to look at. Amen. There's a scripture in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 16. I call it 6:16. It's very easy to remember. 6:16. What does it say? Somewhere there. It says, he that is joined unto the Lord is what? He that is joined. Who is the he? Is this your body? Oh, yeah. So. Okay, 6:17. Is the brother. So, the soul can be joined to Christ. Hallelujah. But this soul, Christ is in heaven, is it not? But the soul we have seen can be in hell. So, that soul has to come out of hell and come into the realms of heaven. And is joined unto Christ. Hallelujah. So, when that particular soul is in the bus, where is that? Where is he? When your neighbor comes and says, today I will show you that I am from Obia, where is your soul? At what level is my soul operating? Amen. If my soul is on the ground, then Obia will respond to Obia. Amen. But if that soul is walking in the high places, he says, set your affections, is it not? Where? So the dimensions of the soul, my mind, my emotions, that is my appetite, the things I like, the things you know, what you say, your element, the thing that brings out you. It actually depends at what level my soul is. Amen. If my soul is on the lowest hell, the lowest, hallelujah, those are the things that will appeal to me. Amen. But if it is on a higher dimension, then I will also respond at that dimension. Hallelujah. You know, and we are a people that are being called to move on. Hallelujah. You know, so what does it mean to move on? What does it mean for me to move on? Hallelujah. What is it? How do I move on? What is it that I move on? I move from level to level. I used to live in a one room. Now I've moved on. I now live in a three bedroom. Hallelujah. Amen. I used to buy food single. Now I buy carton. I bought a carton of milk. Carton of milk is under my bed. When I met, I just put hand and bring it. Levels don't change. Amen. Have the levels really changed? Hallelujah. Amen. Have the levels really changed? Amen. So, there is the resurrection of the soul. There is the resurrection of Christ. I talked about that. That brings me back to that Christ matter. Amen. Jesus and Christ. So I'm still reading the face geography. Jesus and Christ. Amen. You know, 1 Corinthians 11 says that the head of Christ is God. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, are you going to show it to us? Show us that 1 Corinthians. Let's just take 5 minutes and talk about that, then we'll go on, because it's the basic part of what we are dealing with. Okay. But I have you know that, verse 3, that the head of every man is. The head of every man is what? And the head of the woman is what? And the head of Christ is what? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So the head of Christ is God. That is the levels you have in the spirit. So who then is Jesus? So Jesus is the head of Christ. And the Bible says, after he has done everything, he will take all and do what? Submit it to his Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay, so show us Ephesians chapter 1. You know, when he talks about the different parts of Christ. Christ is speaking about men. God in man. Hallelujah. That is Christ. Hallelujah. Are we there? Go to the end. Verse 20, 21. Okay. Let's start reading from verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ. When he did what? When he raised him. So Christ went. Christ died. I don't know if you understand. So when he says Christ died, he's speaking about Jesus, who is the head. Hallelujah. Of Christ. Hallelujah. And he raised him from the dead. Okay, made him sit at his right hand. Verse 22, I had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the what? Head over all things to what? The church. Which is what? Amen. So Christ has a body. And Christ has a head. The head of Christ is one man. And his name is what? The man. Jesus Christ. Or Christ Jesus. Is identifying his personality in the spirit that came and lived on the earth. Hallelujah. And was raised up. But that's not the import. The import is that you have also a body of Christ. Hallelujah. And that is our calling. Amen. That is our calling. That we should be partakers of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And wherever and whatever happened to the head will happen to the body. Hallelujah. Amen. Wherever the head has gone to, the body is also going to go through. Amen. Because the body is joined to the head. And he is the one that is bringing forth the body. Hallelujah. Adam, you know, Adam is also speaking of Christ. You know, it says he formed the earth and he breathed into it. So it says you call his name Jesus because it is Emmanuel, because that is God, God in man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the fullness of God has to come manifest in man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The fullness of God, it says, the fullness of the Godhead does what? Dwelleth bodily. It's not just only in Jesus. You and I, we ought to change our geography so that the fullness of God will also dwell bodily in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, so I have to leave there. I have to leave it there and move on. If there's anything to clarify, we can do that later on. You know, in the word. Hallelujah. So we are in John chapter 3, and we are talking about the new birth. John chapter 3 and verse 7. Sorry, verse 6. It says, that which is born of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of the spirit. So we're looking at the spirit composition of man. Amen. This inward man. The inward man has your soul and your body. But there's a place I'm going to. Amen. I'm going to Zion. That was the scripture we started with this morning. Zion. The scripture says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will do what? Where is the secret place of the Most High? Where is it? Who knows where it is? Those that fear him know where it is. Where is the secret place of the Most High? Who goes there and who is dwelling there? Let us see that Hebrews 12:19. See that Calista started all this morning. Amen. The message is the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we there? Some Hebrews 12:22. What does it say? For ye are come. Amen. Hallelujah. So which part of you has come? The soul was in hell. But there's one that has now come to Zion. Hallelujah. There's one that has changed location to Zion. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at the tabernacle, you will see Zion there. You know, you look at the tabernacle, you see the outer court. But inside that place, there is a building, there is a dwelling, what we call a sanctuary. It's covered. And it has a door. Hallelujah. It's actually a garden, because when you go there, you see cherubims. You see palm trees. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, so God told them, build it. Build me a sanctuary. That I do what? That I may dwell among my people. You know, one of the things that is critical now is that you must know that you are the dwelling place of God. Hallelujah. But you see, this dwelling place of God has a history, has a geography. Hallelujah. The soul used to be in hell. And when the soul was in hell, wild spirits, different kinds of spirits, took over. You know, just like the physical earth, also the spiritual earth. Spiritual earth is speaking about your soul. The physical earth became a prison house for devils. I don't know if you are with me. Are you with me? I don't know, I'm feeling you're not with me. Hallelujah. There was a rebellion in the heavens. And the devil was driven out of heaven. Amen. And he was pushed down to the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so just as that happened, also the soul has been a territory of devils. Amen. An example, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, they came into the wilderness, is it not? And they were going into Canaan, is it not? It was inhabited. It had spirits. Or it had the Canaanites. It had the Perizzites. It had different nations that were dwelling. And God said they had to drive them out. Hallelujah. They have to drive them out. And in our experience, we find that there are spirits dwelling in our soul. Amen. In the realms of our mind, in the realms of our emotions, in the realms of our desires, there are occupiers. Hallelujah. And these spirits must be driven out. Hallelujah. Who is going to drive them out? Amen. Who is going to drive them out? You know, so So God, in his walking, you know, brings us into circumstances and situations that God uses as instrument to enable us to make choices that will either drive these spirits out or make them to have more dominion over us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12 is speaking about Zion. Zion is a city of refuge. And if you didn't know that, please, that is the core of the message. Now, what is a city of refuge? You can see the references in Joshua, is it 20? Deuteronomy 20. There are many other places. I think those are the two main places. And a city of refuge, it says there will be six of them. That when the avenger of blood is pursuing you, what do? You run into the city of refuge. And when you run into that place, you are what? Safe. Now, the burden I'm bringing, brethren, is that there is a city of refuge in the spirit where the soul should enter. I will be barricaded. I will be planted. And no spirit can pull it out. Amen. So, when he says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High is Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you are in Zion, you cannot go to hell without permission. Hallelujah. Amen. There is no devil anywhere in hell that has the opportunity or the power to come and take you out. Take your soul out. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So he says that the keys of hell and what? Death are with who? Jesus Christ. He has the key. There is nobody, no spirit that can open that door and force you out. Whether it's an ancestral spirit or it's a whatever spirit. Amen. Accidental discharge cannot force my soul out. Or cannot terminate the plan of God for me on earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we look at Revelation 1:5? Revelation 1:5. I hope I'm getting it right. Where it says he has the keys of hell and death. Who? Is it the last verse? You must know it. Because when the spirit is pressing you in the night, you have to laugh at the spirit. When you are facing death, you have to laugh at death.
Hallelujah.
Say, oh death, where is thy? Oh grave, where is thy? It has a basis. You're not just speaking English language. Brethren, we must know our basis. Hallelujah. He said, state your matter. He said, come together, let us argue. Let us agree. Let us converse. You must converse with those spirits. Whether you call it ancestral spirit or besetting sin or with, converse with them. Amen. And you have a reason. You have a basis. Amen. And he said, I am he that what? Living. I was what? I was. In fact, Brother Peter had a revelation of hell. He's the only man that told us that Jesus went and preached a crusade in hell. He went and preached to the spirits in hell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he laid captivity captive. I want you to know that there are activities in the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And this battle, brethren, must shift. And go to where it ought to be. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that there is a devil who has taken my position in heaven. Yes. He took the key. He says, if you bow down, I will give it to you because it was given to me. Who gave it to him? There's a brother who gave it to him. One of my beautiful brothers. But we are taking it back.
Amen.
Jesus has taken the key back. And in Christ, I have authority to that key. I don't know if you understand. So let's read it properly. I am he that what? Liveth. I was dead. And what? I am alive forever. If Jesus is alive forevermore, I am alive forevermore.
Amen.
There's a reason. That's the next step of the message. We're going there. We're not there yet. If anything that happens to Jesus happens to me also.
Amen.
For a reason. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you must understand your conversation. So when the matter comes and the devil is conversing with you, you will converse as man that is standing on a foundation.
Amen.
If your house is built on the rock, let the Obinigwe come. You will not go anywhere. Because you are founded on a rock. Amen. The storms are coming. Let them come. Just that we have to hurry up. Hallelujah. To get properly founded. He says, and I have the keys of what? Hell and of death. If Jesus has the keys of hell and of death, who then can go and force the key out of his hands? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have a covenant of life.
Amen.
And that covenant is that there is a city called Zion. Hallelujah. The devil is pursuing us and we are running into Zion. My soul is running into Zion. My soul used to dwell in hell, but it has departed from hell. And it is entering Zion. Hallelujah. So, there is a highway called Soul Highway. And we are going there very soon. I want you to understand. There is a highway called Soul Highway. Amen. Just like your body walks in realms. You enter motor now, it's not driving. You can't just drive into any house. You follow the road. Amen. There is a road in which the soul also travels. There is a dimension in which the soul also operates. Hallelujah. And thou wilt not leave my soul. Yeah. That is a covenant. Or suffer me to suffer corruption. Hallelujah. But you know something? The soul is coming from darkness. And as it is moving, there is a transformation. The darkness is dropping. There is a change. So in other words, there is a place where you have a mixture, where you have a little bit of light and a little bit of darkness. And that's what gives the devil authority, isn't it? Amen. And that's why, you know, Brassic was talking about it on Friday. That's where the blood comes in. That's why you need the blood. What do you think you need? The blood, you need to hide under the blood so that darkness is not seen. Yes. And that's why in the tabernacle, you don't see wood. It's covered by what?
Gold.
Amen. We all have gold. We also have wood. If this fellowship comes and drops the gold.
Hallelujah.
Brother. It will be shitting wood exhibition. Shitting wood exhibition. You will not see different types of wood. You see Iroko. You see, what's it called? Mahogany. Eh? Abura. You see different types of flesh. And Bro Hubert, he used to smell flesh. You say, the flesh is smelling. Bro, I think he used to smell flesh. Nobody, he smells flesh. You know, as the flesh is smelling. You know, my carnality smells. It has an odor in the spirit. Amen. You know, last Sunday we were talking about the body of Christ. That body, you must put spice. You must spice it. Spice it. You can spice the situation or expose it. Amen. Do you know inside that your body now that God has hidden some things? One of my friends, he gave his inaugural lecture on Thursday. He said he has operated, he has done autopsy on 1,600 and something dead bodies. 1,600 and something dead body. He has operated to make a diagnosis. When I was doing my posting, I dodged and dodged and dodged and dodged and dodged and dodged. I said, God, you must deliver your son. Because I have to do those autopsies and write report. Hey, when you thank God. Amen. So you can choose. The body can be, open it. But you see, God has made the permission to bring spices. Amen. So, when situations happen, and they will happen. Hallelujah. Situations will happen because you still have cheating wood in the church. And there are settings in which the gold is not there anymore. It's rusty or chipped off. And you find wood touching wood. You know, when wood start touching wood, it's friction. It's going to bring heat. Amen. Hallelujah. But God is teaching us to walk in the Spirit. Say, walk in the Spirit and we will not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. Hallelujah. Now, for my soul must grow. Amen. Out of childishness to a place of what? Maturity. Amen. I don't know if you got that. Because the natural body, the natural child grows also, is it not? Grows out of Zaram level. Amen. And goes up to Ebube level. Amen. Amen. And goes beyond Ebube level to another dimension. Hallelujah. So also with the soul. The soul must grow. The soul must mature. In the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. In being able to discern darkness and hide from it. Hallelujah. How you know a child is that everything is good. Everything goes in the mouth. Hallelujah. That's why you have to guide the child. But for the adult, you don't need that because he's able to, you see, you have your senses. What? Discern. To do what? To separate the good from the evil. Hallelujah. So, God expects you and I to grow and to mature and to get out of childishness. Amen. Amen. Now, childishness means the same temptation, the same besetting sin, the same faults. They keep coming and I keep falling. What it is saying is that my soul has not received enough energy, has not received enough experience. Christ has not been walked into my soul to the point where I can see and discern the evil and be able to hide. Hallelujah. Or to be able to see the darkness. It says, resist the devil. What will he do? You need authority to resist. You need strength to deceive. You need discernment to deceive. You need to be able to hear. Do you know that there are voices in the spirit? In fact, do you know there are more people in the spirit than physically on earth? How many people know that? Heaven is a crowded place. Hallelujah. Amen. To a great crowd of witnesses. And there are voices. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't ever think. They say, oh, heaven is very low. Who told you? And in that vision, one sister was praying. And I began to see. Sorry, Isaac, don't be annoyed. I began to see things. I saw dark black birds flying around. When we were praying about those Boko Haram boys. And as the prayer went on, the thing cleared. So I say, your brother, don't they see someone now? Praise God. Amen. I didn't take permission from him to see, but I saw. Amen. But what I want to tell you is that God can open the eyes of your understanding. And God must open the eyes of our inward man to begin to see. And you cannot say you are alive when you cannot see in the spirit. Amen. Or even hear in the spirit. Do you know that there is something like that? As the body will hear. See, he that created the ear, will he not hear? Were you not made in his image? Do you know that the spirit speaks also? And the spirit said to him. Which spirit said? Hallelujah. Amen. Say, my Lord said to my Lord. My Lord said. Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, there is a spiritual reality. And too long you and I have operated on the analog flesh. And the Bible says, he that is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, he that is born of the spirit is spirit. It is the spirit, the soul that is born again. Hallelujah. Amen. And that soul must grow, must wax strong. The leg must strengthen. Hallelujah. To stand in the things of God. Not like the lame man. He was there at the gate. Every day they would jump him and enter. But the man could never enter into the temple of God. Hallelujah. Amen. But the day came when he began to leap and to walk. May God help me to leap and walk. Walk. Into the sanctuary. Brethren, we have dwelt long in this tabernacle called wilderness. Outer court. Amen. Because there is a place where there is bread. There is a river flowing. Hallelujah. There is a place where you begin to feed on this Christ in you. Do you know that it's called a hidden manna? There is manna inside. There is an energy within the soul. Hallelujah. And when that is released, somebody call it the spirit of excellence, whatever you want to call it. Jesus told them, there is a bread that I eat which you don't know of. Hallelujah. But I want to say, brethren, that there is something God is showing us. That is a new salvation. Christ in you. The hope of glory. But that's a different message. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. There's a burden. I hope I'm able to deliver the burden. And I pray you are catching it. All right. Let's go to one of the most popular verses in Proverbs 4, verse 18. Let's start from there. But the path of the just is what? Is as a shining light. That does what? Shineth more and more unto the perfect day. My prayer is changing now. Do you know? Amen. Every morning I say, God, thank you. Because today is an opportunity for Christ to comfort in my soul. I don't know if you understand. Every day is an opportunity for Christ to take over my soul. And for the light to shine more. I don't know if you understand. Somebody said today is a bad day. I said, Jesus, you don't understand. Amen. Amen. Today is a wonderful day because it's an opportunity for the kingdom of the Christ to come in me. Hallelujah. What you call born again is that a spirit entered the soul. Hallelujah. a spirit entered the soul, and that spirit is called Christ. It came as a seed. Hallelujah. Okay, somebody said I should give example. Let me give you an example. There was a woman called Mary. Hallelujah. What happened to Mary? A spirit overshadowed her. Is that correct? When a spirit overshadows you, the beneficiary is the soul. Amen. I'll give you another example. It says, and on that day, they were all together in the upper room. And there came suddenly a rushing mighty wind. What happened? See, they were all filled with the Spirit. Then it manifested. Hallelujah. It was not the manifestation, it was the inward thing. An example, Peter, who had been running from everybody, stood up. I said, ye men of Jerusalem, what are you looking at? These are not men who are drunk in the morning. This is just 9 o'clock. This is the promise that was given. You wicked people, you took Jesus and killed him. This was the Peter, a little maid. Say, you are me, Jesus. I've never met him before. He denied 3 times. Hallelujah. But when the Spirit entered his soul, hallelujah. When he was filled with the Spirit, it was a different Peter. Hallelujah. And brethren, we are being filled. There is a spirit that is taking over. And I'm advertising that spirit. This is the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. There is a difference between me and Christ. I can run the show. I sideline the Christ. Hallelujah. When problem comes, Obiakpo mind comes. Ndoki mind comes. What's your other? What's your own? Igbo mind comes. Amen. But there is a mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, so for long we have operated on this natural, this, you know, as you was praying that prayer, it says, you know, this natural man has taken over for too long. But the time is coming when this new man, this Zoe life is coming forth. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The days of the rule of the carnal man, as we have borne the image of the natural, the time has come to bear the image of the, and that image, that seed, has long been within the soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It came in at Passover. I don't know if you understand. Passover is seed time. There must be a harvest of Christ. There must be the harvest of Christ within. Hallelujah. Brethren, we are coming into a new season. The soul is coming into a new season. There's a new hope, new glory, new light that is coming. You know, the brother was praying again. He said, there's a new day that's dawning. Brethren, I want you to understand there's a new day. I may not see it right now, but I'm not walking in it. But I think I'm seeing something. Hallelujah. I see flashes of a new day. A new day, a new life. Hallelujah. And you know, when Jesus was on earth, it was a new life. There was, I call it Zoe life. Hallelujah. It was the life of God manifested in him. Hallelujah. Natural situations. Natural circumstances. He was praying in the mountain. They were out there in the sea, isn't it? Amen. Amen. The man came walking on the water. And the energy of God in him was so strong that he even walked past the boat. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you and I, we are going to face situations, even after this preaching now. Amen. Amen. And you will have the opportunity to allow the Zoe life in you to manifest, or to allow the carnal life to manifest. Hallelujah. one must kill the other. Oh, yeah. Amen. For as long as I make choices that retain the dominion, the government of the natural man, hallelujah, Christ will not come forth in fullness. Hallelujah. So that's part of what he's saying. Understand my understanding of verse 18. He's speaking about the shining light. That is one highway. Hallelujah. He also tells us the other highway. Look at verse 19. But what? But the way of the wicked is what? As darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Hallelujah. There are two parts for the soul. Light, darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. And, you know, the scripture is telling us, walk in the light. Walk in the spirit. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. From time to time, I find my soul straying out of the path of just. Amen. It strays into the way of the wicked. You see, there is something comes forth. Hallelujah. Amen. But God says he will do another circumcision. Amen. He will do a work. Say he will take away the heart of flesh. And he will bring in the heart, something. Hallelujah. I will give you, you know, I'll take away the heart of stone and give you, you know. Yes. Hallelujah. That thing, that principle that makes me choose to walk outside, God has his knife on it. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people call it the life of the cross. Whatever language you use, you have to understand. The cross is not a wood. Hallelujah. The cross is not a wood. It is an experience in the spirit. Amen. Where the carnal nature is being destroyed, being killed. And then the life of Christ comes forth. So the message of the cross has two dimensions. There is the death, but it's more the resurrection. Hallelujah. And that's what Brother Sam was talking about these past few days. Hallelujah. Speaking about the resurrection, the life, hallelujah, that you and I have to go through. So let's do a little bit of the practical. Let's go to the beginning of Proverbs 4. Verse 4. He says a few things before, but he says, he taught me also and said, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. He said, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you are getting, get understanding. Exalter means receive the mind of wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we need that mindset of the wisdom of Christ. He says, exalter, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give unto thy head, that is the mind, an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Amen. You see, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in the right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Say, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Look at verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not, they say they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Amen. So these are the two highways for the soul. Walk in darkness or walk in the light. Hallelujah. You know, as sons of God, we have opportunity to choose. Every day we choose. And scripture says, my little children, do not sin. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Hallelujah. You know, in the practicals, sometimes we see, it may be most times we see that we stray, the soul strays in our desires, in our mind. Hallelujah. You know, and there is a very practical way to it. And one practical way to it is relationships. You know, in the relationships we have at home, at work, some of us have relationship on the phone. Amen. You know, in these situations, our soul mingles. Amen. I know the end result is that the soul is either pulled into darkness or pulled into light. Hallelujah. That's the end point. And you see, even though, yes, we have a testimony that we are called to be the people of God, we can find ourselves doing things, being in places that we ought not to be. And the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us from all uncleanness. Amen. But it's not just a matter of forgiving, but there is a ministry that is able to change the soul. Because the Bible says that the word of God is perfect, converting the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. We are speaking about it in the night vigil. You know, it's possible that we can lose vision. We can lose our purpose. We can lose our focus. And it's very easy in relation when relationships are not working well. You get overwhelmed, taken, you know. You are embroiled. I did this, I didn't do. I said, I didn't say. My uncle did this, my uncle didn't do. My boss did, my boss didn't say. You know, there are so many things pulling at us. And after some time, we lose direction. And that direction is the path of the just. Hallelujah. Amen. The Spirit of Christ in us, brethren, must take over the soul. Amen. That, I don't know what language will make it clearer. James makes it clear. He says it's like a husbandman waiting for the harvest. So that the husbandman has great patience for the harvest. Hallelujah. Jesus came, he has planted. This is the sower. He's planted a seed of Christ. Hallelujah. That seed must grow to the point where it becomes the dominant nature of everything growing in that field, in that realm of the soul. Hallelujah. Amen. So say, Christ in you is the hope, not the fullness. Christ is in me, but there is much darkness, much earth. Hallelujah. That Christ must grow, must come to a place of maturity. Hallelujah. Amen. And God has brought a word to us as a people. Many years ago, it came. We heard it in different forms. And you know, God was telling me the other day, we have not yet come to the unity of the faith. In other words, different people have different understandings of this word that has come. Hallelujah. And you know, you can be in a place where we are distracted by so many things. We are distracted by so many things. And when we are distracted, we lose the essence of the message. We lose the essence of the call. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, there is something that God is doing now. It's called atonement. At the time of atonement is a time of trouble. It's a time when God begins to allow hardship. I got a word. You know, the type of hardship will be determined by you and I. It's going to either increase or God will reduce it based on our response. Hallelujah. And I told my wife, I actually have a feeling that it is going to increase because we need more trouble. I'm speaking spiritually now. On Friday, it says, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth. There has to be a travail. The Nigerian church is traveling. Killing here, killing here. Has the killing actually worked righteousness? The circumstances around you, has it made you more prayerful? Has it made you more sharp in the spirit? Has it given you focus? If it hasn't, then that two things. If in God's mercy, he's going to send more trouble so that I will awake. Hallelujah. Amen. So, brethren, what we are saying is that the soul must come to maturity in the things of God. It says, Hebrews says, forgetting the elementary things, let us do what? Go on to maturity. Amen. There is a place where there is a fullness of light. There is a place where there is a fullness of Christ. And you and I must make, you have got to make that choice. Where I am not going to be distracted by circumstances. Amen. And part of, you know, a brother was speaking somewhere. He said he has made up his mind. He said, look, he's not going to strive. Amen. He's going to walk away from it. Now, the reason is not because you are not a strong man. You know, some of us have been very strong. But I think we are coming to the place where we need to become weak. Amen. Why? Because of the vision that is set ahead. What is that? That I'll be among the first fruit. When you say first fruit, that's something that we don't hear very often. And it's a mark of distraction. First fruit means those souls in whom the fullness of Christ will come. Hallelujah. Yeah, say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you desiring to be among the first fruits? How much do you desire? How much do I desire it? I used to desire it, but now it's very, very, very faint. It's not very strong. My heart is crying for thy. When did you hear it last, sister? Amen. Hallelujah. There has been much distraction. But we need to relocate. On Friday, we made a fresh covenant to relocate. Who is relocating? It is the soul that must relocate. It says, we all as sheep have what? That's right. Sheep goes astray. It just goes on his way. Bru, 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 bru. And then the shepherd has to leave everything and go and seek it. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God has been seeking us to bring us back. Bring us back to the original vision. Bring us back to the original path. Hallelujah. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That the Christ in us might bring us into the glory. If we must enter the glory, brethren, hallelujah. That is why this whole journey started. That we might be partakers of that glory. Amen. As the head has borne the image of the heavenly fully, there has to be a people that will also walk into that experience. Hallelujah. Are we going to be part of that? Hallelujah. You know, when you enter end time assemblies, when I sit back, I'm just reviewing. I say there is confusion here. Because we don't know whether we are end time or we are Pentecost. Hallelujah. There's a hybrid. We don't know. The young, even it's even worse for the younger ones. It's like, we don't. Amen. So we in this one here, in this fellowship, that where are we end time or we are elevated Pentecost? Amen. We are a refined Pentecost. Or maybe, it's a dynamic. If we stray, it will start working. Hallelujah. So where are we? I will listen to a brother. I say, you cannot bring the doctrines of Pentecost and you take it and you want to enter into the holiest of all. It's not going to work. Hallelujah. And we are trying to force it. We are trying to bring elements. You know, I used to have problem with it because in Pentecost, God has allowed certain things. He says, bake the bread with what? Leaven. In that bread of Pentecost, there is leaven in it. There's a mixture. And, you know, it so happens that for the end time people, we are caught up in it. And if we are not very careful, you see the leaven overtaking the meat and the substance. Hallelujah. There's a substance, Christ. The fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Moving on, coming into that realm of Christ, that mantra, that. Mantra means that the Christ has fully taken over the soul. Amen. In experience, not just grammar or theory. So you and I must come to experience. I see God speaking to me and say, look, I'm looking for experience. I want you to come to experience. Hallelujah. Experience means going out of the wilderness into the sanctuary. Sanctuary means you come to the experience of shewbread and lampstand in experience. Hallelujah. You know? So those are not things you teach where this is, you know, we've had a lot of a theory, but I need to come to the place where I have the energy of God. I operate by the, I am faced with a problem. And I have the capacity to go to God and receive energy. And by the word of the Lord, by the strengthening of the Lord, I push through that difficulty. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Brethren, the practicals are over because darkness has come. You know, we are facing it left, right, and center. And, you know, the tendency will be, well, I can always go fall to the natural. But brethren, there's a place, there's strength in the spirit. Hallelujah. And for every one of us, whether you're a young person or you're old, you're young in this world or you're old in this world, there is no excuse. God is calling us, bringing us back to the reality of Christ. Hallelujah. To the place of overcoming. My soul must mature. Let me end with Revelation 4. I just end with that. Okay, sorry, time has, it's about 1 o'clock. We'll end in the next few minutes. We're speaking about sonship. We're speaking about maturity. God wants sons. And in this fellowship, sonship must be number one. Hallelujah. I talked a little bit of it at the night vigil. Verse 4. Well, verse 1 opens, just an interesting thing. It says, after this I looked, and behold, there was a door opened in heaven. Hallelujah. There's an opening for a people to go up into heaven. And somebody say, come up hither. There is a call for us to come up, you know, into a higher realm, into a higher place of walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders. You know, speaking of maturity. Elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. You know, Proverbs 4 was speaking about these crowns of gold. It said, wisdom will give you this crown. Hallelujah. This mind of Christ. You know, I don't know how you read it, but I read maturity. You know, my soul must come to a place of maturity in my offerings. If you look a little bit, if you look deeper, you will find out that when you are bringing, Bible speaks about the iniquity in the offerings. When you are bringing offering, there are some pitfalls, there are things that are involved. Hallelujah. And he was speaking to the priest, saying, you must know how to sanctify yourself. Hallelujah. And he told the man, he said, look, you know, you must wear something. Holiness to the Lord. You must wear something. There must be a covering on our minds. Hallelujah. Say amen now.
Amen.
There must be a covering. You know? And what is that covering? Let me give you an example. There are two brothers. One was Peter. The other one was John. And Jesus said to Peter, you must do so and so and so and so and so. You know what happened? And Jesus was taking him somewhere, but he turned back. And he looked behind. He saw somebody. He said, but Lord, what shall this man do? Hallelujah. He told him, what is it to you? Just face what I have given you to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, brethren, there are so many distractions, so many pitfalls, so many imperfections. There are so many in the body, there are so many things, so many voices. But you, as an individual, you must take hold of what God is saying to you personally. What has God said to you? What has God given to you to do? Hallelujah. Say, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Hallelujah. But Lord, I know what you have said, but what shall this man do? It's not your business. May the Lord help us to be refocused.
Amen.
Amen. I'll give you an example. Joseph of Arimathea, he landed at the right time. I was asking my wife the right day, say, I never heard of Joseph again. Have you heard of Joseph again? Where did he go to? But when it was time, the man was there. He saw all the visions. He saw all the dreams. He was step by step. He was ahead of Herod. Hallelujah. God will speak to him. Right there in the morning, he wake up in the middle of the night. It's time to go. But after some time, the man dissolved out of the scene. Hallelujah. What does that say to you? So, there is a place, there is a calling, and there is a burden. Hallelujah. And we are encouraged, brethren, let's keep our eyes. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's keep our eyes on the focus. The thing that God has given to you, hold it. So the things that we have been assured of, hold it. You know, there was one time, I was looking for big ministry. Say, God, so you see, we have all this. Is that what you are going to be taking me? Go to fellowship, two people, three people? We had the crowds. And somebody began to sing one song. Little is much, If God is in it, do not. You know, I was looking for big things, and God said, little is much if God is in it. Amen. So I don't know where you are. It may be little, unrecognized. But you see, if you play a role, do that which God has given to you. The Bible says God rewards faithfulness. He says it's accounted among stewards that a man would be faithful. Not be found perfect. Faithful. That's what my Bible says. Faithful. You're faithful in it. Hallelujah. You know, so I just like to just end here. I believe we are being encouraged to press on unto sonship. Hallelujah. You know, if we are weary, sometimes I get weary. And I say, oh my God, this thing is not too much. Right now, this fellowship has announced night vigil every 2 weeks. Brother, I think that's what we said. At the night vigil, we agreed that there'll be night vigil every 2 weeks. That is trouble, oh. It's trouble for my sleep, trouble for trouble. But you know, as I sat down here that day, when the brother was praying, brethren, trouble is coming. If we don't pray. You know, Brother Bot was speaking to me and said, you have to really pray. Brethren, we have to really pray. You know, the flesh may not like it. How am I going to do night vigil every 2 weeks? How shall I do it? Won't I go to market? Won't I do? But we have done it before in this fellowship. We did it, we ran it for almost like 2 years. Every 2 weeks it was on. And there came a lot of power and energy. Hallelujah. And right now, that thing has come again to pray. You know, to bring us, to move us forward to that place of prayer. And I personally thank God for it because my flesh doesn't like it. But I'm trusting that God will visit me with energy and strength so that I can up my game. Hallelujah. And I can be there. You know, so this is just an encouragement to us. Not just there, even personally. You know, let us, if we are weary, let's just receive strength, brethren. Because Zion is marching on. Amen. If you look around the whole body of Christ, there is much strength. There's much breaking forth that's coming. Hallelujah. And let's not remove ourselves from what God is doing. When God begins to open our eyes, we will see the visitation of God upon his people. Praise the name of the Lord.